Give to us now, dear God, we ask the glory of the light of your gospel, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.
Amen.
On this night, on Maundy Thursday, many liturgical churches commemorate two events in the life of the church. The first is the institution of Holy Communion, or the Lord's Supper. To put things into context, Jesus is with his disciples in Jerusalem, which is full of people who've come to celebrate Passover. Scholars estimate that some 300,000 people might have traveled to Jerusalem just for this annual festival. And Christ knows that he is about to be handed over to suffering and death. In fact, he knows that this is the last time that he'll have with these closest disciples that he has poured his life into over the past several years. He says, this from Luke's gospel, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And then he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Passover, remember, is the Jewish celebration of deliverance from bondage and slavery in Egypt under Pharaoh's rule. When Pharaoh refused to let the people go, even after the plagues were sent to motivate him, God's people were instructed to put the blood of a sacrificial lamb over their doorposts as a sign to the angel of death to pass over their house. This would become the plague that would force Pharaoh into submission. We just heard some of the details of it described in our Old Testament lesson in Exodus chapter 14. So in the context of this Passover meal that Christ is having with his disciples, he tells them to do this in remembrance of him because it's a new covenant in his blood which is poured out for them. In other words, Jesus is associating the sacrifice he was about to make on the cross and the deliverance represented in Passover, because his death would establish a new covenant, which would bring to an end the need for the millions of blood sacrifices that had been used to seal and maintain the old covenant. As the author of Hebrews explains, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So Christ instructs his disciples to continue to get together, to share bread and wine, to remember him. And as we gather together tonight to remember him, we do so to celebrate our deliverance from the powers of sin and death. The second thing that many liturgical churches commemorate on Maundy Thursday is Jesus washing his disciples' feet. He says, this from John's gospel, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Holy Communion and foot washing. So to which of these does the word Maundy refer? Well, actually, both and neither. The word Maundy comes from the Latin word mandatum, which means commandment. Which commandment? Do this in remembrance of me, or you also should wash one another's feet? Well, again, it's both and neither, because the commandment being referred to is actually a commandment that encompasses both of these commandments and much more. Because just a few verses later, in John's gospel, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. that you also love one another. And the love that Jesus is talking about here is certainly more than a romantic feeling, a feeling that for many can be here today but gone tomorrow. And it's more than the kind of feeling of satisfaction that we often refer to when we get something we want. Like, I love bacon cheddar burgers. The kind of love that Christ is talking about here is the kind of love that says no to doing something you want to do in order to say yes to doing something for someone else. It's selflessness, which in its purest form simply goes against human nature. For example, I was talking to a friend of mine from seminary just last week, and he said, "So, you guys reading John's Gospel and doing a foot washing next Thursday? Because I got an illustration for you." He continued, "You know how Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays?" I said, "Yeah, but for some reason, I still occasionally forget." He said, "Exactly. You remember Carl, right? Well, his son also had forgotten about the Chick-fil-A Sunday rule and was going through the drive-thru one Sunday afternoon with his 3-year-old daughter. And when he realized and explained to her the situation, she was not happy about it. She said, 'But why, Daddy?' 'Because being closed on Sundays is one of the ways they can honor Jesus,' the father said, to which she said, 3 years old, with arms crossed, 'Well, they should honor me.'" Now, I don't know how many adults would actually come right out and say it just like that, but I do think that many of us often believe and behave in our own way just like that. The love that Christ is commanding of his disciples, which includes us, if we want to be his followers, is sacrificial action. The kind of love the disciples were about to see defined when Jesus stretched out his arms of love on the hardwood of the cross. It's a love that he had to command because it just doesn't come naturally. No one has to command me to love mint chocolate chip ice cream. And no one has to command me to love the members of my family, at least not most of them, because I just do. But the love that Christ is talking about here doesn't come naturally, and it's far from easy. And that's why he had to command it. And the only way I know for us to genuinely live into this commandment is for us to first experience his love. We love because Christ first loved us, which brings us to the foot washing. "This is what I'm doing for you tomorrow," he says, as he pours water onto your ankles, letting it fall across your feet and in between your toes. "I don't expect you to understand now, but God on a cross and God at your feet are much the same thing. Do you understand what I am doing for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." It is God's commandment to us this Maundy Thursday to gather together to remember him and his great love for us, and then, in response to that, to love one another through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.